Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Compliance Week news podcast, this time for the week of Monday, June 13th. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Compliance Week, and today we're going to talk about reforming the audit industry. As you may have seen already, earlier this month, the Public Company Accounting Oversight Board said it is pondering various ways to make the audit report more useful and to make audit failures less common. That could include even the idea of requiring companies to change their external audit firms every few years. That is still only a gleam in the PCAOB's eye right now, but auditor rotation would still be a fairly dramatic shift from today's world. So to talk to us about that news today, joining us is Tom Selling. Tom is author of the Accounting Onion blog. He is also a former academic fellow at the SEC's Office of the Chief Accountant. He is a business professor and a well-known voice out there on all matters financial reporting. So, Tom, thanks for taking the time to join us today.
It's a pleasure to be with you again, Matt.
The first question I have is, assuming auditor rotation comes to pass, and that is a big assumption, we know, what would the practical effect be for financial reporting or internal auditing executives? Would they face more complicated encounters with their audit firms if we have new firms rotating in every few years, or do we have any other sense of what the practical fallout of that might be?
Well, I think in order to answer that, Matt, mm-hmm. it might be helpful to know why average auditor tenure is currently so high.
Sure.
It would be nice to know if it's purely because clients are seeking to avoid switching costs like the ones you mentioned, or is it for other reasons? Even well-intentioned managers know that longer tenure generally means it's easier to get the auditor to concede to management's point of view on matters.
Mm-hmm.
And we also know that auditors already impose significant switching costs on their clients just because of the year-to-year turnover that occurs with middle and lower staff on an audit engagement. It could well be the case that auditor term limits might actually reduce that kind of turnover from changing assignments within the firm.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe that's a little bit evasive of your question, but I do agree that the PCAOB should be sensitive to these types of switching costs if term limits in some shape or form are imposed. I expect that the PCAOB will be sensitive to this question that you asked and many other issues. And that's because we're really dealing with a fundamental change, perhaps most fundamental since SOX 404, and even perhaps more fundamental than that since internal controls were required by the securities laws even before SOX.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's safe to assume that they're going to be moving cautiously.
Well, would auditor rotation, in fact, even achieve the immediate goal of fewer audit failures?
Well, that's a question that certainly goes to the heart of the issue, and actually in two ways.
Mm-hmm.
First, and I don't want to sound too much like a lawyer here, which I'm not, but your underlying premise seems to be that the purpose of auditor rotation is to reduce the number of audit failures.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that's too narrow a specification of the problem. For one thing, I'd argue that in our earnings-focused business environment, where the executive suite residents derive a large portion of their compensation from reported earnings, billions of dollars of shareholder value is being destroyed whenever auditors subordinate judgment to management. And we probably wouldn't call that an audit failure, but reducing incidents of that type is a potential benefit from term limits also.
Mm-hmm.
Second, we're talking about this issue today less because of audit failures at small companies like Cost Corporation, but because of Lehman and AIG, and WorldCom, and Enron,
sure.
And a number of others that contributed to severe disruptions in the economy as a whole. If audit term limits could be imposed in such a way that they would work to prevent just one of these, then that alone could cover some of the costs, if not all the costs.
And, you know, more broadly, I was wondering whether or not a fresh set of eyes on the financial statements, does that actually get to the probably the most fundamental question of how do we make audits and audit reports more useful to investors? PCAOB Chairman Jim Doty, he was the one who talked about the importance of that, and the board seems to be talking about whether or not the audit report needs to be changed. So I'm wondering if auditor rotation, is that useful to achieve that sort of goal, or is it somewhat separate from the ultimate goal of making an audit report more useful? What are the various pressure points here?
Well, first of all, it's not just a question of a fresh set of eyes,
mm-hmm.
but it's also a question of how to sharpen those old eyes, the eyes of the incumbent auditor.
Yep.
In year five of a seven-year relationship, is the current auditor going to be feeling comfortable because they worked with the client for 5 years, or will it feel uncomfortable because it knows that some successor auditor will have every incentive to examine everything they did with a fine-tooth comb? But to answer your question more directly, I really think there are at least three wheels spinning at the same time. There's the question of auditor independence, which audit term limits or mandatory audit firm rotation is designed to address directly. But there is also, as you mentioned, the information content of the audit report, which Jim Doty did talk about in length in his speech and is the subject of current projects at the PCAOB. But there's also issues about the quality of the accounting that the auditor is being asked to examine. Some would say that the big problem at Lehman and Citigroup and IBM and others is that these firms are so darn complicated and GAAP is so complicated and counterintuitive and fraught with arbitrary judgments that these companies are simply not auditable.
Mm-hmm. And if I can throw in one last question, if I may, do you think that the audit industry is going to mount, or what sort of a fight might we see over audit rotation, assuming that comes to pass, or any other substantive audit reform? What sort of battles are we looking at here, titanic clashes or minor skirmishes?
I think absolutely titanic. If you look at the footnotes to Doty's speech, he very accurately recounted the reaction of the AICPA and the debate in Congress when mandatory audit firm rotation was first thought about or considered in the testimony and debates leading up to Sarbanes-Oxley in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that's changed that way either. The big problem with the whole topic is that we really don't have any evidence that audit firm rotation could work. And so for that reason, it's going to be an uphill battle. I think we have a lot of evidence that other things that have been proposed in place of audit firm rotation have not worked as well as we thought they would. And so it's going to be an uphill battle, I think, for the PCAOB to convince people that we should be trying something as radical as this without really much history as to knowing how it's going to work. Nonetheless, I'd say it's theoretically supposed to work, and it doesn't necessarily mean that the PCAOB has to adopt draconian measures overnight. This can be an incremental process, perhaps working down with the largest audit firms and their largest clients and seeing what happens.
All right. Well, Tom, that's all the time we have today, but you covered plenty of ground for us, so thank you very much for your time.
You're very welcome, Matt.
And again, everybody, that was Tom Selling, author of the Accounting Onion blog and a well-known financial reporting expert. He was talking with us about the idea of mandatory auditor rotation and other potential reforms to the audit industry that are being considered by the Public Company Accounting Oversight Board. That is all for this week's podcast. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Compliance Week. Thank you all for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next time.